We were ascending the avenue when he thus paused. The hall was before us. Lifting his eyes to its battlements, he cast over them a glare such as I never saw before or since. Pain, shame, ire, impatience, disgust, detestation seemed momentarily to hold a quivering conflict in the large pupil dilating under his ebon eyebrow. Wild was the wrestle, which should be paramount, but another feeling rose and triumphed, something hard and cynical, self-willed and resolute. It settled his passion and petrified his countenance. He went on. During the moment I was silent, Miss Eyre, I was arranging a point with my destiny. She stood there by that beech trunk, a hag like one of those who appeared to Macbeth on the heath at Forres. "You like Thornfield?" she said, lifting her finger, and then she wrote in the air a memento, which ran in lurid hieroglyphics all along the house front, between the upper and lower row of windows. "Like it if you can. Like it if you dare." "I will like it," said I. "I dare like it. And," he subjoined moodily, "I will keep my word. I will break obstacles to happiness, to goodness. Yes, goodness. I wish to be a better man than I have been, than I am. As Job's Leviathan broke the spear, the dart, and the habergeon, hindrances which others count as iron and brass, I will esteem but straw and rotten wood."